The reading is from Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 to 39. Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. Seven, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the seven loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterwards, the disciples picked up seven basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan.
Well, good afternoon. It's a real pleasure to be with you. We've already prayed. So as we look at God's word, as we think about the main issues, I want to start off with a picture. Do we have a picture? Great. So there's four girls here at school. Maybe they're out of school. Not quite sure. I want you to quickly chat in your small groups quietly. Which one of these do you want to hang out with? So have a quick chat. Which of these do you want to be your friend? Okay, 3, 2, 1, stop there. Okay, I imagine some of us are thinking, I know I should be friends with the one on the right, but we're probably all thinking we want to be in the group, don't we? We don't want to be the outsider. Okay, let's have the next picture, please. This is back in 2012, still a great year in my life. This is the British Olympic and Paralympic team, or just a selection of them. I want you to chat with your neighbour. Which one of these athletes do you most want to hang out with? Have a quick chat amongst your friends. Well, you can tell me. Okay, 3, 2, 1, stop there. You might not remember most of who these athletes' names were now. It's 8 years ago. Can you believe that? Well, I imagine most of us have their favourites. And my guess is most of us are thinking, well, I really respect the Paralympians, but really, I probably want to hang out with one of the gymnasts, or maybe Jessica Ennis or something. The thing is, naturally, we don't like to hang out with outsiders. We love to be with insiders. And the question that this Bible passage brings before us is that Christian? Is that a Christian attitude? Now, we've just had read the feeding of the 4,000, Jesus feeding the 4,000. In this story, we're going to be challenged by this, that Jesus cares for outsiders. Jesus cares for outsiders. And therefore, so should we. Now, as the reading was done, you're probably thinking this is all deja vu. Didn't we hear this exact story happen a few weeks ago? And that's right, we almost did. A few weeks ago in Matthew 14, we had the feeding of the 5,000. Now we've got the feeding of the 4,000. Now we're in Matthew's gospel, but it's the same in Mark's gospel as well. And I remember about when I was about 20 years old, a very young Christian, reading through Mark's gospel, thinking, why are we being told about a 4,000 after a 5,000? I already know Jesus can do this trick. And now it's the same trick, but just with fewer numbers of people. What's the point in telling us? Well, having studied this passage, I'm now pretty clear why. It's actually quite simple. You see, when Jesus feeds the 5,000, it's a big sign we'd have heard a few weeks ago that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior of the Jews. It's great news. He's the Messiah and Savior of the Jews. But now when we see he feeds the 4,000, well, we're seeing that he's the Messiah and the Savior of everybody. And that's the point that we really need to get to grips with. Jesus cares for outsiders, and so should we. Last week, you might remember when Piers was preaching, we looked at the faith of the Canaanite woman and how Jesus had mercy on her. And the point of that was she wasn't a Jew, and we're still in non-Jew territory today. So this is almost like an away fixture for Jesus. He's playing away from home. The conditions are a little bit harder. But as Jesus is doing healing, his reputation is so huge that people still flock to him. So look with me at verse 30. It says, great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. You know, for Jesus, it doesn't matter if it's an away fixture. In fact, for Jesus, there's no such thing as an away fixture. The point is, he's the Lord of the whole earth. Look what he does, verse 31. The people were amazed. And when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. See, Jesus comes for outsiders, and he heals outsiders. They're the disabled. They're those who aren't valued by society. They're those who are a burden of society back then, and sometimes the same attitudes today. Often considered second-class citizens, but not to Jesus. And we see Jesus cares for these outsiders, and so should we. Do you know the expression PLU? It's something my parents used to use. I don't say that to embarrass them, but they said, oh yeah, they're PLU. PLU, people like us. It was their sort of sign that people who are coming round, we'd enjoy hanging around with. PLU, people like us. And that's what we're like. We like to hang around with people who are like us. But not for Jesus. Jesus loves hanging around with people who are completely different from him. I mean, just imagine, think of all the differences there would have been between Jesus and this Gentile crowd. Certainly, they would have had a different first language, probably different clothes, different politics, different history, even different sense of humor. Jokes would have worked in a different way. Enough for Jesus to feel pretty awkward, not even want to go there. As a Jew, Jesus would have had nothing in common with the Gentiles. And here it's even more than cultural issues. Again, Jesus, the God-man, but he's healing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute. Nothing like Jesus. But does that bother Jesus? Not a bit. And the great news of the gospel is that Jesus is the Messiah and Savior of the world for all people. A single issue that any of us face now, no matter where we're from, no matter what the issue is, that will not be fixed when Jesus returns. Now, I think when we hear Jesus has come for outsiders, it's tempting for us to think, oh, Jesus has come for outsiders. Well, that's nice for those outsiders. But it's slightly missing the point. You see, in Bible terms, we are the outsiders. I don't know you all here, but it's quite likely that 100% of us here are actually Gentiles. So from that perspective, we are the outsiders. And the only reason we think of ourselves as insiders is that Jesus bought us on the inside through his death on the cross. So we should be clear that we're the ones who benefit from the fact that Jesus has come from outsiders. Yes, there's a sense in which we are insiders now, but only because Jesus brought us inside through his death on the cross. So really the first thing I want us to know is that Jesus has come for outsiders. But the second thing I really want us to know is he's not just come for us because he has to. Jesus has come for outsiders because Jesus cares for outsiders. Now, we all know the difference, don't we, between a doctor who cares for you and a doctor who doesn't. Normally, they do the same job. They normally make you better in just the same way. But isn't it lovely and refreshing when a doctor looks at you and you're in a lot of pain and says, oh, I really feel for you. You're like, oh, this is great. They're not just serving me so they can get a salary. They actually genuinely care. Well, Jesus doesn't just come for the outsiders because he has to, because it's a job description. Jesus comes for outsiders because he cares for outsiders. And we can see this again if we compare the feeding of the 4,000 with the feeding of the 5,000. We don't have time to look at the 5,000 again today, but I could just sum up. When Jesus heals, when he feeds the 5,000, he does it as a sort of, it's almost reactionary. The disciples are about to send them away. And Jesus says, no, they should probably stay. But this time round, Jesus said, before they get as any suggestion of them being sent away, Jesus says, look, I love these guys and really want to hang out with them and I really want to eat with them. Now look at verse 32 with me. He says, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry or they may collapse on the way. And we see the heart of Jesus here, don't we? We see the heart of Jesus for the outsider. He takes initiative to look after these people. He cares for outsiders in the same way as he cares for insiders. We've been just singing about how Jesus satisfies us. In the feeding of the 5,000, we see they were satisfied. In the feeding of 4,000, they are satisfied. Jesus cares for outsiders the same way as he cares for insiders, for Gentiles the same way he cares for Jews. Now, one thing that really surprises me again and again when I read this story is that even though the stories are almost exactly the same, they should be a little bit different. And the thing that should be a bit different is the disciples' reaction. You see, it's the same miracle, isn't it? So, and do you remember who dishes out the food in the feeding of the 5,000? Can anyone remember who distributes it? That's quite noisy, I'll just tell you. It's the disciples, they distribute the food. So after Jesus says he wants to feed the 4,000, we expect Peter to say something like this. Okay, look, we've got this. John, you get the fish. James, you get the bread. Andrew, you get the baskets. Jesus, you bless the food and we'll distribute it and everyone will go away satisfied. But is that's what you expect. They've just seen this exact thing happen. But what do they say? Look at verse 33. His disciples answered, where could we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? It's remarkable, isn't it, that they don't know exactly what's about to happen. Why don't they get it? Well, I think this is almost the most challenging part of this passage. I think partly it's the disciples are just spiritually slow to learn. Don't you find that you need to be reminded of the same lesson about Jesus again, 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 before it goes from your head to your heart, before you really start trusting this reality that you know? I think there's certainly something of that going on here. But I think it's probably more than that. I think it's more the fact that they probably thought, yeah, Jesus is the Messiah, he's the Savior of Israel, but there's just no way they could get their head around the fact that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior for the world. He's the Messiah and Savior of outsiders. But that's what this story teaches, isn't it? That Jesus cares for outsiders, and therefore so should we. And I really think very often that's a real challenge for a church like us. We're all Bible-believing Christians, aren't we? And yet very often our lives never really look like we have a vision for the outsider. We do everything we can often, don't we, to live safe, comfortable lives, to surround ourselves with people like ourselves. The thing is, it's very hard to do that and at the same time be compassionate for outsiders, to care for outsiders. So how do we respond then to this challenge? Well, let me suggest four things. The first thing is to pray. You see, care and compassion, they're not actions, they're things from the heart, aren't they? In Matthew chapter 15, or the start of this chapter, Jesus tells us what our hearts are like, and he doesn't list care or compassion. It's a supernatural thing, care and compassion, particularly for people who are not like you. So let's ask that God would change us. Let's ask God that he'd give us compassionate hearts. I tell you, that's something I've been praying now for a number of weeks for our friends in the Gambia. Very often, when we're living in the Gambia, it just feels like we are so completely different to our Gambian friends. There's just so many cultural differences. We often feel we don't even understand each other. And it can often lead, I find, sadly, to apathy. I just think, oh, I'm never going to get them. But that's not what Jesus does, is it? He massively cares for those who are different to him. So I've been praying, Lord, give me great compassion on Gambians. I don't just mean the Gambian Christians, all Gambians. So let's pray. And that links slightly to the next point. Let's think. You see, the difference between me and a Gambian is far smaller to the difference between me and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ had the most safe, comfortable, happy existence that is possible. He was enjoying fellowship with his Father in eternity past, and yet he left all that to die on the cross for us. Think of that costly compassion Jesus had you. You are an outsider to Jesus, but he's had compassion to you. And as you think and as you pray, may the Lord make some of the compassion that Jesus has for us as outsiders overflow, and that we might have compassion to others. So pray, think. Thirdly, act. Pick one outsider. Maybe it's someone who's culturally very different to you. Maybe it's an unbeliever. And consider this week how you can have compassion or care for them. In one sense, it is quite difficult in lockdown, isn't it? It's, seeing people is quite challenging. But on the other hand, we've got to acknowledge that we are living in really challenging times, aren't we? So that's harder to help. It's all the more incumbent on us to help. So think how you can act. It's sort of think again, I guess. But let's not just think in the abstract. Let's think how we can act. Who can you help this week? Who can you show compassion to this week? So think, pray, act. And finally, act radically. I'm slightly cheating. I'm saying act twice. But basically what I mean is this. As Christians, we should be thinking big, shouldn't we? We should be thinking radically. In the next section, in the next chapter in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is going to say this. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let me give an example of someone who's really challenged me on that recently. Another church that supports us. One of the people in that congregation, their children, they've got four children. They're about 50 years old, the couple. The children are sort of have either left home or are leaving home. And she thought this is the perfect time in their life. They can sit back, enjoy an empty house and watch Netflix every night. But what do they decide to do? They decide to foster a baby and their mother, who's not coping. I mean, that is life-changing. That is all peace and quiet from their house is completely gone. Why are they doing it? Because they've got compassion on people who are different to them, because they know the compassion of the Lord Jesus, and they know that they should too. They've received great compassion, and they want to share it. Now listen, what we can all do will hugely vary. I'm not saying that's what we've all got to go and do fostering. What we can help, and the ways we can help, will vary hugely. And yet at the same time, we've got massive problems in our society, don't we? One of the problems in our society is that forgetting practicalities, no one is showing compassion on anyone else, are they? We're such a divided society. Our society needs compassion so much. We've got big problems outside of COVID-19. Immigration of asylum seekers and refugees. Children need adopting. Foster carers are needed. What we can do will vary. They're just some examples of things where we can start thinking, how could I act radically? How could I really be like the Lord Jesus Christ? But let's not do nothing because of a lack of compassion. Because Jesus cares for outsiders. And so shouldn't we as well? Let's pray. Father in heaven, it is remarkable that the Lord Jesus Christ came to save us. Father, we thank you for the love and compassion that you have on us. Thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who laid down his life willingly for us. Father, we pray that we be those who have great compassion on others, particularly unbelievers, particularly those who are culturally very different to us. We pray you'd give that compassion to us, and we pray that would be a compassion that leads us to action. We ask these things for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.